Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Arca Continental conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. Please note that this call is being recorded. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn today's conference over to Melanie Carpenter of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Jennifer. Hi, everybody. Today, Arca Continental will discuss its results for the second quarter and first half of 2015. This call is being broadcast in high-definition audio. The earnings report went out this morning, and the long version is available at arcacontal.com in the Investor Relations section. There's also an audio webcast, and that will be replayed through the website. It's now my pleasure to introduce our speakers. Joining us from Monterrey are Mr. Arturo Gutierrez, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Emilio Marcos, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Manuel Gutierrez, Director of Corporate Planning, as well as the entire Investor Relations team. And with that, it's now my pleasure to turn the call over to Arturo Gutierrez to give the company's presentation. So please go ahead, Arturo.
Thank you, Melanie, and thanks everyone for joining us this morning to review Arca Continental's performance for the second quarter and first half of 2015. Let me start by saying that I'm quite pleased with our results. We continue extending our strong earnings momentum, posting solid gains both at the top and particularly bottom line. Consolidated volume, not including jug water, grew 1.1% in the quarter to reach 303 million unit cases. The combination of an adverse climate and a weaker consumer spending in Mexico affected consumption in some of our territories. Our South American division performed very well in the quarter, posting solid growth, which helped to partially offset the impact in Mexico's volume. By optimizing our price-pack architecture and cost structure while perfecting our execution at the point of sale, we strengthened our leading position in the various categories and territories in which we participate. Our commercial strategies and market execution enabled us to once again deliver solid financial performance. We are focused on building a long-term, sustainable business by balancing price realization, incremental transactions, and profitable volume growth. Consolidated net revenues rose 13.1% in the quarter and 13.6% year-to-date to 18 billion pesos and 33.3 billion pesos, respectively. This top-line performance, coupled with our financial and operating discipline, enabled us to close the quarter on a strong note in every market. Building on our wide portfolio of products with affordable, returnable, and profitable single-serve presentations, we continue to grow transactions across our territories. Notably, consolidated EBITDA for the quarter rose 12.5%, reaching 4.3 billion pesos, representing a margin of 23.8%. This was the 17th quarter of EBITDA growth since the merger of Arca Continental. We continue to focus on exceeding our customer and consumers' expectations while increasing the efficiency of our operations, which translated into improved profitability. Let me now switch to an important event this year. The Coca-Cola Company is celebrating 100 years of its iconic glass bottle, the Coca-Cola Contour bottle, with a global campaign that includes new advertising, a music anthem, and a series of art exhibits featuring works from leading contemporary artists. We're joining the festivities with a series of promotions and activations across all of our territories. Arca Continental will also be the host of the Coca-Cola Bottle Art Tour, the traveling art exhibition that celebrates and showcases the Coca-Cola Contour bottle's role in art, design, and popular culture. The tour will be staged at a convention center in Monterrey during the month of July. Let me now expand on the operational performance across our geographies and lines of business, beginning with North America. Our second quarter volume in Mexico came in essentially flat as a result of a slow economic recovery and unseasonably cold and rainy weather that extended from the beginning of the year into June. Rainfall in many areas was at the highest level in years, affecting almost all of our territories. In four of the largest regions, precipitation was more than twice of that from previous years. Moreover, significantly below average temperatures were observed in most of our cities. Nevertheless, our team worked diligently to mitigate such challenging scenario. On a positive note, we achieved a strong 8.1% in still beverages, driven by sports drinks and the juices and nectar segments. New product launches and package innovations supported steady growth in these categories. North America's net revenues rose 5.6% in the quarter to 13.1 billion pesos. Average price per unit case in Mexico, excluding jug water, increased 4.7% in the quarter to 49.53 pesos. These top-line results underscore our ability to leverage our occasion, brand, price, pack, and channel architecture across our entire portfolio. During the second quarter, we generated more than 1.6 billion transactions in Mexico, outpacing volume performance by 1.6%. This represents 18 million transactions with our consumers every day. This quarter, our single-serve mix increased to 49.1% as we continued reinforcing our marketplace execution, particularly cooler coverage. We are on track to meet our goal to introduce 52,000 coolers in Mexico in 2015, representing 70,000 new doors. Notably, we achieved our sixth consecutive quarter of growth in our returnables mix, reaching 37.7% of total volume. EBITDA in the region rose 6.5% to 3.5 billion pesos in the second quarter, representing a margin of 26.3%, an expansion of 20 basis points. This quarter marks the highest EBITDA margin in North America since Arca Continental's merger, and it comes on top of a record margin achieved in the same quarter of 2014. We are winning in the marketplace by executing with excellence at the point of sale and by creating efficiencies and synergies across our manufacturing, sales, and distribution networks. I would like to briefly share with you the progress of our Siglo XXI project. This collaborative effort helps customers in the traditional channel to expand their potential and increase traffic with an improved layout, in-store props, and other materials. Year to date, we have activated more than 1,800 new customers, reaching over 10,000 customers since we rolled out this program. Shifting gears to our nostalgia operation, which consists of exporting soft drinks sweetened with cane sugar in glass bottles through Coca-Cola bottlers in the U.S., we reported steady sales growth at a double-digit rate, reinforcing our alliance with CCR and the Coca-Cola Company. Our Topo Chico mineral water continues strengthening its preference in the U.S. marketplace. Export sales rose 22% in the second quarter, confirming our market leadership position as the number one imported mineral water brand in convenience and grocery stores across Texas. Turning to our vending machine business, volume sales and transactions continued their upward trend. Total vending transactions in the quarter grew 4.8%, reaching 44 million. Let's talk now about our snack operation in North America, consisting of Bocados in Mexico and Wise Foods in the U.S. Bocados continued delivering solid top and bottom line results, growing both in volume and value share, thanks to a disciplined execution and an affordable product portfolio. Bocados posted high single-digit sales growth and strong margin expansion as a result of the root productivity program deployed since the beginning of this year, and an improved ability to manage our discounts and promotions. We're capitalizing on strong gains in the tortilla chip and potato chip segments as we expand coverage of Wise brand across all our territories. Looking ahead, we will continue our profitable growth strategy by strengthening our presence in key regions, mainly Mexico City. As part of our efforts to replicate best practices and promote a company-wide culture of continuous improvement, Bocados kicked off the Operational Excellence Program to further capitalize on productivity and efficiency opportunities. Last month, Bocados received an award by the State of Nuevo León for its contributions to reduce carbon emissions and to use energy more efficiently, reflecting our commitment to enhance sustainability in all areas of our production and value chain. Wise, our snack business in the U.S., delivered sales growth of 4.4% in the quarter, driven by the eastern and western Pennsylvania and mid-Atlantic regions. Our direct business was up 5.7% in the second quarter, led by the Family Dollar and Dollar Tree accounts. The new image for our Wise potato chips continues its rollout into the market. Our team in the U.S. worked hard to ensure that our new design reflects our heritage, but also includes a new modern approach. While consumers will still recognize certain elements like our iconic Owl Eye logo and vibrant colors, the addition of our golden chips convey the authentic potato flavor that Wise delivers in every bag. Now let me turn to our South American operations, where we continue delivering solid results. Volume in the region was up 5.6%, driven by growth in still beverages and water, as we expanded our market share leadership position. Total revenues, including Tonicorp, increased 39.4% in the quarter, reaching 4.9 billion pesos. This is the result of a disciplined implementation of our price-pack channel strategy, which is a key element of our long-term approach to creating value for customers and consumers. EBITDA in the region rose 46.4% to 842 million pesos for the quarter, representing a margin of 17.1%, an expansion of 80 basis points. We're capitalizing on the investments made last year to expand and modernize our production capacity in the region with state-of-the-art technology. We are now able to provide consumers with more alternatives of affordable products and packages, while at the same time achieving significant efficiencies in the value chain. Our business in Argentina continued the trend of strong volume growth. Volume rose 7.8%, driven by an impressive 192% increase in still beverages and 38% in the bottled water sector. We have expanded our still beverage portfolio, taking advantage of our recent investments in hot fill production at our Salta plant. Our production of juices and nectars under the Cepita brand is steadily gaining market share with the launch of new flavors and innovative packages. Despite the sluggish economy, rising inflation, and reduced disposable income, we continued pursuing market-focused initiatives, enhancing our execution at the point of sale and expanding cold drink coverage to 45.5%. This quarter, we launched Fanta and Sprite in 2.5-liter refillable PET presentations in several territories, improving our mix of returnable packages to 46.3%, one of the highest in the Coca-Cola system. We continue promoting immediate consumption occasions and returnable bottle distribution initiatives, providing consumers with new, more affordable presentations. Our beverage business in Ecuador delivered a quarter of strong growth with volume up 4% on the back of solid 9% growth in bottled water and 13% in still beverages, confirming the overall sequential improvement trend. Our leading sports drink brand Powerade launched a new berry flavor as the category gained relevant exposure with activations of Copa America, a prestigious soccer tournament sponsored by Coca-Cola. An important event in the second quarter was the launch of Coca-Cola Life in Ecuador, our low-calorie cola naturally sweetened with stevia leaf extract and sugar. Consumers had the chance to discover our new beverage through an important number of activations and sampling opportunities nationwide. Let me now give you an update on Tonicorp, our value-added dairy business in Ecuador, jointly owned with the Coca-Cola Company. In the second quarter, revenues rose 28.4%, driven by 5% growth in the yogurt category, 7.5% in flavored milk, and 14% in ice cream, while posting double-digit growth in EBITDA. Tonicorp continued solidifying its market leadership position across all key value-added dairy categories, thanks to market-focused investments to expand coverage of coolers and freezers. We are moving forward with construction of the new plant in Guayaquil that incorporates the most advanced technology and will allow us to accelerate our expansion plans in this important and profitable business segment. Finally, in Alexa, our snack business in Ecuador, posted double-digit revenue growth in the quarter. Inalecsa is consolidating its market presence in key growth categories such as pastries, corn chips, and plantain chips. EBITDA also grew double-digit based upon cost efficiencies resulting from successful negotiations in key inputs such as corn and edible oil. And with that, I will turn the call to Emilio to go over our financial results.
Thank you, Arturo, and welcome again, everyone. We appreciate your participation in our second quarter conference call. As Arturo explained, this quarter we face a tough consumer environment and one of the rainiest seasons in recent history, which affected our sales volume. However, this situation was compensated by good execution and proper implementation of the most advanced revenue growth management models in the industry, resulting in a stronger single-serve and returnable presentations mix, a well-managed price performance, and a strong cash flow generation. Consolidated revenues grew 13.1% in the second quarter and 13.6% for the first 6 months of the year, as a result of slightly positive volume growth, a better price per unit case, and a good performance in the snack division. Comparable currency neutral, net revenues increased 8.9% in the quarter and 10.3% on a cumulative basis. Net sales, specifically for the North America division, grew 5.6% in the quarter, with South America up 39.4%. Year-to-date, revenues in North America and South America were up 4.7% and 43.1% respectively, reflecting effective price management in line with inflation in every country where we operate. On the COGS side, higher sweetener prices and the negative exchange rate effect dropped cost of goods sold up 13.6% in the quarter and 14.5% on a year-to-date basis. SG&A expenses as a percentage of sales were practically in line, with increases of 12.7% and 13.7% in the quarter and first half, respectively. We remain committed to making target market investments that will maintain our leadership in the marketplace in order to maximize value creation and continue satisfying consumers and customers. In the quarter, operating income increased 13% for a margin of 19.4%. As of June, this line was up 11.5% with an operating margin of 17.2%. Consolidated EBITDA increased 12.5% to 4.3 billion pesos to reach a 23.8% margin. Year to date, EBITDA rose to 7.3 billion pesos, reflecting a margin of 21.8%. Comparable currency neutral, EBITDA increased 10% this quarter and 9.8% in the first half, cycling a 5.9% and 6.5% increase respectively. Income tax provision for the quarter was 1 billion pesos compared to 882 million pesos in the same period of last year. For the first half of the year, this line reached 1.7 billion, an increase of 14.7%. Effective tax rate for the quarter was 31.1%, the same level since the start of this year. The comprehensive cost of financing during the quarter was down 18.5%, benefited by a higher cash position and a better financial structure. Net income increased 13.8% to 2.2 billion pesos in the quarter, representing a margin of 12.2%. For the first half of 2015, net income increased 13.1% to 3.5 billion pesos, reflecting a margin of 10.5%. As of June 30, 2015, we had a cash position of 7.9 billion pesos and debt of 16.2 billion pesos, meaning a 0.6 time net debt to EBITDA coverage ratio. We generated cash flow for 4.4 billion pesos in the first 6 months of the year as a consequence of one of the many strengths of our business. This generation of cash is used to pay capex, dividends, and maintain our organic growth strategy. Our capex investments for the first half of the year were 2.3 billion pesos, which went towards fortifying our operations, increasing execution at the point of sale, and enhancing production capabilities. We foresee a better second half of the year as the consumption environment improves and boosts our single-serve and returnable presentation sales, adding more transactions and value to the organization. Our location, service models, profitability trends, and lean operation backbone make us confident to maintain our business strategy and reach the goal plan for 2015. And with that, I'll turn it back to Arturo.
Thank you, Emilio. As we look ahead to the rest of 2015, we are encouraged by our consistent performance and remain confident in our ability to reach our full-year growth targets. We will focus our efforts on generating maximum value for our customers, shareholders, associates, and communities, while always exceeding the expectations of our consumers. Our strong focus on execution in the marketplace across a diverse geographic territory will enable us to create value both in the near and long term. We will continue seeking opportunities to grow profitably in beverages and complementary businesses within the Americas. Furthermore, we are as financially strong as ever, generating solid cash flow and investing to support our world-class execution, as well as the long-term health and well-being of our communities, customers, and consumers. We thank you for your support and confidence. Operator, please open the call for questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. If at any point you'd like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, you may do so by pressing star 2. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our first question comes from Lauren Torres with UBS.
Yes, hi, good morning, everyone. My question is on Mexico. Understandably, the weather impact was a negative for you in the first half of the year, but I was hoping you could talk a little bit more about the consumer environment. I think, Emilio, you kind of concluded saying that you're expecting better consumption in the second half. Just curious, you know, why you think that. What are you seeing with respect to the consumer that you think things will get better in the second half? And then I guess in connection with that question, as you talk more about pricing and mixed benefits, is that something that you'll be, you know, more focused on and that could come at the expense of volume? Or how should we think about that balance? I'm just trying to gauge the balance between the volume versus price mix impact as we think about the full year. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Lauren. Well, with respect to the consumer environment, as you've seen in Mexico, we've had a slower than anticipated recovery in consumer spending, that's for sure. We do see some gradual improvement, but bad weather really did not allow that to be reflected in volumes in the first half. I mentioned that in some cities we had twice as much rain as last year. That's really unusual. We don't like to use it as an excuse, but in this case it was really atypical. But when we look at volumes by channel, we can see that the on-premise consumption is growing, the same as the at-work and the leisure consumption occasions. So those, as well as the traditional channel, which is also capturing more of the mix, those might be signs that things are improving. At the same time, as we reported, we see an increase in our mix of single-serve, which is also a good sign. But we expect that to be reflected in the coming months. The last month of the quarter was better, and that's also a good sign of what might be coming. In terms of pricing, we've increased prices for the year with the recent increases in May, and I think with that and a better mix of our different categories, we expect prices this year to be even above inflation in Mexico, and that would not come as a sacrifice of our volume, as the way we see. Part of our improvement in price has come also from a better management of discount and promotions, a better key account management as well, where we had good negotiations that have a good effect on our net price. And in general, I would say that we have a much better RGM strategy. We evaluate information, we use tools, we determine packaging and pricing, and we are, I would say, more sophisticated in that analysis. So I would say that that should not affect our expectation in volume, which is that things will improve in the second half of the year, also as the consumer spending improves.
That's very helpful. And if I could ask one other question just on the margin side of the business, we did see this margin pressure in the quarter for reasons that you outlined. Curious if that's going to reverse in the second half, and if so, why? Is it more on the sweetener side or investment spend? How should we think about full-year margins, and if there is potential for that decline to reverse in the second half?
Thank you, Laura, for your question. As we have been saying, our expected margin or outlook for margin for the full year is to have the same margin as last year. So as you see, this quarter we have in South America and North America better margin than 2014. So with all this initiative that we have implemented on pricing and what Arturo just mentioned, we were confident to keep that trend and to have the same margin at the end of the year, which last year was 22%.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Antonio Gonzalez with Credit Suisse.
First, on CapEx, there's been, if I'm not mistaken, something like a 40% CapEx growth year-to-date, excluding Tonicorp from the base, obviously. So I wanted to see if you can give us a little bit more color on where has this CapEx been deployed so far. You mentioned in your prepared remarks some initiatives regarding coolers. I wanted to see if you can give us kind of a broader picture of how much is dedicated maybe to commercial activities, how much has been more industrial CapEx, how much has been allocated to complementary businesses, and irrespective of whether or not the macro situation improves in Mexico in the second half, do you expect these investments to reignite volume growth, and if so, when? And then I have a follow-up question more on the technical side, but I'll wait for that one.
Sure, Antonio. Hello, and thank you for your question. As I mentioned, before that, our budget for this year is 5.2 billion pesos. So far, we have invested an amount of 2.3, as I mentioned, is 44% of total. Mainly, this investment has been through our facilities. As we mentioned, we have several new facilities in process in Argentina and Ecuador, which is in beverages and also in tonic work. So for those new plants, out of the 5.2 billion, the budget for those plants are around 875 million pesos, let's say. So far we have invested around 25% in sales equipment, which of course give us a better structure in the marketplace, and of course we have better sales for those investments. 50% of those CapEx, we have been doing it in Mexico. Around 50% is in other businesses, and the rest is Argentina and Ecuador.
And I would add, Antonio, that just to that, that even under a difficult macroeconomic environment, we've always been persistent in investing in the market, and those kind of things usually we capitalize when things recover. Let me give you a couple of examples. We've placed more than 30,000 coolers in this first half of the year, and that's important to take advantage of the summer season. We have, as I mentioned, activated a number of customers, 1,800 customers under our Siglo Ventuno program. We are rolling out route to market for modern trade, which is improved routines, roles, technology for convenience stores, supermarkets, and similar customers in many of our territories. That's part of the investment that we're making, and certainly that should be fruitful in the second half of the year, also as the recovery in consumer spending it picks up.
Great. That's very helpful. And if I may, just a second question very quick. I see your cash flow from operations down significantly in the first 6 months of the year from 6.4 to 4.3 billion pesos. And apparently there's a roughly 2 billion peso reduction in taxes payable. I just wanted to ask if you can clarify why is that.
Yes. Well, first, as you know, we paid dividends last April of around 2.8 billion pesos. And we also paid taxes in March, April, well, April and May for a little bit less than 2 billion. As you recall, last year we were paying a provision, a smaller provision monthly. So at the end of the year, you calculate all the taxes that you have to pay, you deduct the provisions that you made last year, and then you have to pay all the difference on April and May. So that's why basically the we have a reduction on cash for those main issues, dividends and taxes.
All right. So some of the tax payments that happened now in the cash flow statement are really coming from the 2014 generated profit.
That's right.
Correct?
That's correct.
Right. Got it. Thank you so much, Emilio.
Thank you.
Thank you, Antonio.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andrea Teixeira with J.P. Morgan.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking the question. So I have three of them real quick. One, if you can comment, please, on the market share trends in within Mexico. You had mentioned mostly on-premise consumption, so I was curious to see, you know, on the traditional channel, if you're seeing any market share trends there. And given the fact that I believe, if, correct me if I'm wrong, your main competitor has not taken as much pricing as you did. So if you can comment on the CSD category, which I'm more, it's called my attention. And if there is any regional performance gaps that you've seen in Mexico in the second quarter. The second question would be dividends. I mean, you spoke briefly on the cash flow generation, so I'm curious to see if you're going to be back to engaging more dividends in 2015, obviously absent of any M&A and assuming nothing really happens in that front, neither in 15 or most of 16, if we should be seeing an increase in payout. And lastly, on South America, you know, the strength that we saw in Argentina, if you're seeing that mostly driven by the elections or if you're seeing some slowdown, it was remarkable how much, you know, the growth that you had and mixed back, you know, initiatives there as well. So if you can comment with, in terms of how you're seeing trends in the second half for South America. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Let me comment briefly on market share in Mexico first. And we are relatively stable in our market share in Mexico, I would say. And we have to, as you know, balance our volume share, our value share, our profitability, of course. We look at share in terms of all the NARTD categories. Sometimes we have more opportunity in some of the other categories. In general, we have also a tough comparison because at the end of 2013, we had the highest historic share of our company. Right now, we're in a positive trend. We're improving our share monthly, and let's say in June. We're fairly stable. Slight decrease, if you consider it year on year, on the Nielsen channels. But again, with a good trend. And we have also growing, we're also growing, which is very relevant, as I mentioned before, on channels that are not measured by Nielsen share of volume. So that's important also to note. So overall, we're comfortable with our strategy of balancing our share with our profitability. There are certainly some particularly priced packages of competitors that we're focusing on with tactical approaches on our side. So we have that advantage. We have returnable presentations, which allow for flexibility, and we have now, you know, the systems in place to have a more focused approach and react in some regions and some particular packages where there could be an impact on our share. With respect to the regional performance that you asked, I would say that it is strictly related to weather. We did have different performance across regions, but there is a very close correlation with rain and cooler temperatures. We had a better performance in some of our western regions, and now if we measure it with similar temperatures, I think we would have improved the volume much more. So I would say that's the most relevant factor other than, you know, economics or anything else. So let me address the Argentina question and then turn it over to Emilio. In Argentina, we have certainly a deceleration of economic activity, high inflation, and, you know, a limited consumer spending. And we have a better than expected volume, that's for sure. But there are, you know, a couple of reasons where we can explain why we have volume. First is we've used very effectively our flexibility to market returnable presentations. As you can see, the mix in returnables that we have is very high, the highest in our system, one of the highest in the Coke system, and that allows us to, you know, cope with the situation. And second is that we've captured the opportunity of an underdeveloped stills market, for sure. We've grown some of the still beverages that have very, very, very low per capita in Argentina, and that comes as a very good opportunity, especially with our new infrastructure in our Salta plant, which I also mentioned. So no, if that answers the some of your questions, I can turn it over to Emilio.
Thanks, Arturo.
Thank you, Arturo, and thank you, Andrea, for your question. Yes, we pay a little bit higher than the 1.5 that we historically have been paid per share on last April. So, and it was a little bit less than 50% payout ratio for the 2.8 billion pesos that I mentioned that we paid. That's of course one of the cash flow uses. And the second one, as I mentioned before, is the CapEx budget, which is about 5.2 billion pesos. In addition to that, we also have a debt maturity by the end of the year for about 1 billion pesos. And of course, we are always expecting new M&A activities as a strategy to grow in Arca Continental. So that's mainly the uses of our cash flow generation.
Okay. So should we see, but there's no like a fixed policy that we should be seeing going forward?
Well, for this year, as you know, our policy is to pay a pay ratio of at least 30%. So we already pay that, even higher than that. So for the rest of the year, there's no planning on paying additional dividends so far.
Okay, and for the years to come, there's no potential increase on that on that amount. What are you going to do with excess cash?
Well, again, if there's no any more M&A activities, there's something that has to be decided on the board and
on the
stockholders.
Okay. No, thank you so much.
Thank you, Anna.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Fernando Ferreira with Bank of America.
Thank you. Thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to go back to the price volume issue. I mean, I understand the weather effect, but do you have an idea, I mean, how much of those soft volumes are coming from the pricing that you've taken? I mean, do you have any sense of how the elasticity, price elasticity is doing, or I mean, what's your sense on what's the ability of consumers, right, to pay higher prices? So just wanted to try to isolate that factor from weather. Thank you.
Yes, Fernando. Well, yes, we measure that very specifically, and what we actually do is when we take some price, as we did in May, that we increased prices in very relevant packages, we measure their performance afterward to determine elasticity. And we learned actually last year that, you know, our SSD categories are much less elastic than we anticipated. It was an experiment that we obviously didn't want to make last year, but we learned from that. And now we know that elasticity is less than 0.5, I would say, if you want a number. And that gives us confidence that the increase in prices that we made, also looking at the performance in volume like in packages like the 500 returnable glass, for example, which is very important, was a good decision because it didn't affect the volume significantly, and actually it balances our price pack curve, which is what we want to do. You need to increase prices in some coordination so that you maintain all your returnable and non-returnable packages within the price pack curve that we have. So overall, we're comfortable with what we did. We believe it will not affect, again, our trend in volume, and will allow us to have prices above inflation for the whole year, which is very important for profitability, of course.
Perfect. Thanks, Arturo.
Thank you. Thank you, Fernando.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Luca Cipixia with Goldman Sachs.
Thank you. Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Just a follow-up on the categories. I was hoping to get more feedback on some comments as well on dairy in Mexico, just to understand how the rollout is progressing, how the category is performing, and where we stand on that. That would be my first question. And secondly, another follow-up on Argentina. You mentioned how the steel category is somewhat under-levered or as potentials. Is it premature to think that as you look at the market, you may find an interest also in expanding the portfolio in other categories as you have clearly in Mexico and in Ecuador? Maybe just a general comment on that, on how do you see Argentina potentially as well as a category of portfolio diversification or expansion opportunity. If things were to fall in the right places, and you know the market would improve, so this would be my two questions, please.
Thank you, Luca. With respect to Santa Clara, to dairy in Mexico, we're excited about how the category is performing and what the category can give us in terms of growth. It's not that relevant in terms of percentage growth, which is high because, you know, the original volume was low last year, but we continue with a positive trend. When we measure, an important metric there is our reach, our coverage of the up and down the street, the traditional channel, where we continue growing. We reached, more than, you know, 26% in June, to give you an idea. And also we measure the reach at the at home or the direct to home delivery channel, which already represents 24% of what we sell in that channel. So that's very important in terms of how the consumer is accepting the product. We know that it's a winning product in terms of taste and preference from the consumer. So
on the two metrics.
Yeah.
Oh. No, okay. Sorry, but just on the two metrics that you mentioned, where would you have been, let's say, last year? You know, just maybe to understand the progress on this penetration and reach.
Well, reach has increased about 3% in the quarter from the previous quarter. We actually have to measure it, you know, in closer intervals, because this is supposed to be growing more aggressively. So we grew 3% as compared to the end of the first quarter. Okay? And what we're doing to support that is introducing cold equipment. We mentioned that in the last call. We've going to install more than 5,000 coolers dedicated to Santa Clara. We also have display materials special for this category that we use in our own coolers or in our materials for the point of sale in the mom and pops. We are also having cross promotions with other of our beverage products in the store. We do a lot of sampling. We issue a lot of coupons and, you know, make sure that people try the product, which that is certainly something that's very important for the growth of Santa Clara. And we promote it in our routes to the at-home, to the direct-to-home routes. So we believe that's a very important platform for growth of Santa Clara and that the category has huge potential for us. If that answers your first part of the question, I can turn to Argentina.
Yeah, no, that was very clear. Thank you. Would it be possible to get an idea how much dairy represents today on a metric of volume or revenues, just to...
Well, yeah, just to give you an idea in volume, that would be around, the year would be around 12 million liters, which if you translate that into unit cases, we don't like to do that because this is milk and other things. But if you do that, just to get the proportion, then you would say it's maybe 2.4, I'm doing the math, 2.4 million unit cases, just to give you an idea.
Okay.
For the year.
Thank you.
Okay. And then let me move to Argentina, where I mentioned that we have found a good opportunity for growth in the still beverages. And that is, you know, that's consistent with our strategy of being a total beverage company. What happens there, and there are opportunities to grow other beverages as well that we're not, that we haven't developed yet in Argentina, like tea, for example. This is mostly juices under the Cepita brand, and this is Powerade and some of the flavored water. But, you know, there are many new categories in still beverages that still could be developed, not only in Argentina, also in Mexico and in Ecuador. What happens here is that once we have the right capabilities, then we can leverage that for all the beverage categories. And that's why we believe our model still has a very good potential for growth. And when I talk about capabilities, it's obviously cooler coverage, segmentation of customers, route to market, et cetera, and also the infrastructure that we have to produce hot fill beverages.
Mm-hmm. Can I just as a quick follow-up as well on the energy category with the Monster dynamics? Maybe can you give us an update? How should we think about that for your portfolio across markets?
Yeah, Monster is a great opportunity. As you know, it's a leading brand in the U.S. and in many countries, and it's very important in Mexico as well. And since the Coca-Cola company has reached an agreement to partner with Monster, this will be a great opportunity to develop a category where we haven't been as strong as other of the still categories. So we don't have a model yet to do that. We're under negotiations right now to work on the new model for distribution of Monster in Mexico initially.
Mm-hmm. But there's a timeline for that to approximately start to contribute, or is too early to think about that?
I would think about that for purposes of 2016.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Lucas.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Benjamin Thoreau with Barclays.
Hey, good morning. Actually, I have just one follow-up question on the volume things, et cetera. Just to get a better sense on the South American business, Ecuador, how much does now, basically 1 year after the integration, how much does Ecuador now represent within your South America category and maybe within the consolidated, just to get a little bit of a sense of what we're going to expect from a well, maybe less economically affected country like Ecuador in comparison to Argentina, just in order to get a better sense on how you're seeing that market and what you're expecting here for growth and how important has it become now?
Thank you, Benjamin, for your question and welcome. Well, right now, Ecuador represents about 15% of sales. It has been increasing as you know that we acquired Tonicorp last year. So, as Arturo also mentioned, the margins in Argentina and the volumes are growing. So, we are really well confident on the country, and we see a stable country. And so far, with all the investment that we have made, and as I also mentioned, with the CapEx investments, we have we're investing in a new plant for Tonicorp, La Aurora, and we're also investing in a new beverage plant there in Ecuador. So we're very confident on the country, and the results are much better even than expected.
Okay, perfect. And margin-wise, how does Ecuador compare to other regions? How is that roughly on EBITDA?
Well, in Ecuador, we have three businesses. So beverages, snacks, and dairy. So there are three different businesses. But so far, all three businesses have been improving margins. We have a little bit higher margin in Ecuador than in Argentina. But all businesses are getting better, and the trends are positive.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alex Robarts with Citi.
Hi, thanks. Two questions. I wanted to go back into Mexico. And, you know, when we think about the cost structure in Mexico for the second half of this year, I mean, I guess, you know, the oil-related inputs, PET and such, probably are giving you some price relief. But at the same time, we also see a kind of a peaking peso-dollar exchange rate. And so if we think about it on a net basis, the cost structure in Mexico, do you think can be stable versus the second half of last year, or might there be some incremental pressure, maybe some sources of relief? If you could comment on that, that would be great.
Yes, Alex, how are you? Thank you for your question. Well, regarding the cost structure, it's important to mention that the prices in sweeteners this year in Mexico are higher than last year. We don't see any changes in the second half of the year regarding prices of sweeteners. Regarding PET prices in dollars, we have a better price this year than last year. And again, we don't expect any changes in the second half of this year for prices, okay? Then the issue is the exchange rate. So what we have done with all the strategies that we have with exchange rate is that we have hedged 80% of our needs, of U.S. dollar needs for August, September, and October at a lower exchange rate than the average exchange rate of the second quarter of this year. So having said that, we don't expect any changes in the cost structure. Even could be better than the second quarter because we have a lower exchange rate for those months, lower than the second quarter, as I mentioned. So that's for the 80% of the need for U.S. dollars.
Okay.
I don't know if that answered your question, Alex.
One moment. His line disconnected. I believe he just rejoined us. Let me. One moment.
Can we have the...
Thanks.
Oh, Alex, sorry. Did you see my answer?
Yeah, I did. I just wanted to understand the one last bit. As we think about the curve of your partial hedges, is it safe to assume that you're roughly about 50% covered on the dollar COGS in this third quarter, and then perhaps less than that amount covered for the fourth quarter? Is that how we could think about it?
Yes, but it's also important to mention that we have a U.S. dollar operation natural hedge, and that's a higher percentage by the end of the year for the two last months of the year. So that's why we just hedge 80% of the needs on August, September, and October, because in November and December we have a higher natural coverage. So we could say that even higher than 50% we're already covered for the second half of the year, maybe around 25% overall.
Okay. Okay, got it. No, that's helpful. I guess just the second Mexico, North America question I had was on the snacks. Can you give us a sense of how you're seeing the second half in terms of sales and margin when we think about Wise together with Bocados? I mean, obviously, it seems that there's some distribution synergies that these new plants are providing in the United States around Wise. At the same time, kind of sense that the top line at Bocados is perhaps stabilizing. So, I mean, maybe just some color around your second half view on the North American snacks in terms of sales and profitability, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Sure, Alex. This is Arturo. Nice to talk to you. With respect to Bocados, we're having a good year, and I think we are, in a sense, harvesting things that we've done in the past. The things that we've mentioned here before, how we restructure our operation of warehouses going back to the basics, how we increase the productivity of our routes, and now we're in the process of doing additional things. We're repositioning some of our brands and renovating the image of our brands. We're improving in our S&OP capabilities. And basically, Bocados has a big opportunity in terms of customer coverage. In our own territories, where we are working very closely to identify customers that are part of our beverage network and are not covered by Bocados, and where we already have a very, very close relationship with those accounts. And you would think that that should have been done some time ago, but, you know, customers, there's a big dynamic in the customer base, so something that we need to do continuously. And it turns out to be a very good opportunity for growth in this first half of the year, and we expect that to continue. Same thing as growth and coverage in other areas. I mentioned Mexico City before, which is also a good opportunity because we have discovered that we don't necessarily need to be the Coke bottler in the region to have a good operation of Bocados. RGM capabilities in Bocados also have been very important to increase our profitability beyond our growth in volume. So we are excited about continued growth in Bocados. In the case of Wise, growth in the first half of the year has not been as high as in the case of Bocados. We're working in several areas, which also I think will give some fruit in the near future. We and basically it is coverage in direct accounts, but also in the up and down the street market. We have made some censuses of some regions in the northeast of the U.S. to increase our coverage, and we have open distribution centers in Columbus, Ohio, and Lehigh Valley in Pennsylvania. So that will allow us to reach more customers. We're improving our production capabilities you mentioned about, you know, our plan and how we can enhance our distribution capacity in the southeast of the U.S. We're also renovating our brand in the U.S. There's a new image for flat potato chips that will be rolled out, and we keep introducing new products. The kettle chips, popcorn products, in many of our categories, we continue to pursue innovation. And we have stronger alliances with distributors. At the same time, we've made some changes to the organization in WISE. I think all of those actions will bring some fruit, and we'll have a good second half of the year and years to come as well, because many of these things are in the midterm as well. So.
Sure.
I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that's helpful. You know, it does. But just to kind of get your last comment on this one, do you think profit levels from the non-beverage North American business can be stable to last year, or perhaps maybe as we come into the second half, that might help the overall year this year edge up above the profit level of last year in this segment?
Well, in terms of Bocados, our margins, our profits are much better than last year. So we're going to have a much better 2015 as compared to 2014, that's for sure. In the case of WISE, we have invested in the market, and that has an impact on our short-term profits. But we'll capitalize on such investments with stronger market presence, that's for sure, and that will result also in an improved profitability in the near future.
Got it. Very helpful. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Gabriel Lima with Bradesco.
Hi, good morning, Arturo, Emilio. Just want to go back to South America, you know, regarding the price increase in the region, you know, surprised us. Is it fair to assume that the price increase in the region was also above, actually even beyond above inflation of what you implemented in Mexico? Because I'm doing some math here. I'm getting to a 25% increase, excluding effect. So that's, you know, way beyond the, if you combine 30% inflation in Argentina and around 4% in Ecuador, that's a number that is way inflation. So I just want to confirm if you have been able to increase prices above inflation in the region. If so, should we continue to see this happening going forward? Thank you.
Yes, Gabriel. Well, thanks for your question. With respect to pricing in Argentina, as you know, it's always the big challenge in our operations in terms of RGM. But we continue to be successful. This year, we've increased prices in Argentina, in Argentine pesos, more than 35%, which is beyond inflation. And that's been achieved with the stability among channels, which is very important as well, and with a balanced price architecture. That is the result, first, of a very focused strategy in terms of a price pack architecture and having, as I mentioned, a good price pack curve, and also a very good management of discounts and promotions. So that combination has allowed us to have, you know, a very interesting increase in pricing for the year. And we think we're able to maintain that because we have developed the capabilities to do it. It is a challenge because some of the prices, as you know, are restricted by government, but at least we want to be in line with inflation.
Got it. So, yeah, 35 is impressive. So this price performance in the region is mostly due to Argentina, right, Arturo?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and just lastly, if you could make some, you know, comments on the refranchising opportunity in the U.S. You know, Coke has been refranchising, you know, some regions this year. So should we expect something in the short term? And if so, could you refresh us, you know, your view on the challenges and opportunities there? Thank you.
Sure, Gary. You know, we have expressed our interest in principle. We've mentioned that. We mentioned that in the previous call. With respect to the timing, well, we are respectful of what Coca-Cola North America considers appropriate.
We're certainly following up closely in order to be prepared when the time comes to analyze and to value the business model that is proposed and to do it adequately. It's a strategic for us. We see that as a real option for our company to continue growing profitably. And we believe that we have, you know, some advantages and hope to be considered for a project in the U.S. of not only scale being, you know, third largest bottler in the world with good commercial practices in the market, but also the proximity to the U.S. southern states. We have 25 years operating in the country with Topo Chico. I mentioned before that we have, you know, the number one imported mineral water in convenience stores and supermarkets in Texas. We operate snacks. We operate, you know, hundreds of routes in the U.S. And we have a great relationship with the Coca-Cola company. So we believe we can generate value. So we'll be watchful for developments.
Okay. Thank you, Arturo.
Thank you, Gabriel.
Thank you very much. We have no further questions at this time. If anyone would like to ask a question, please dial the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Again, that is star one if you would like to ask a question. We have no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the conference back over to Arturo Gutierrez for closing remarks.
Well, thank you. Thanks once again for your continued interest in Arca Continental. Please don't hesitate to contact us in case of any additional questions. And have a great day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.